Good morning and welcome to another edition of Weekend Magazine. We have a very special guest today from Central Pennsylvania, Andrew Miller, who is the Executive Director of the Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau. Andrew, hello, are you there?
Yes, hello, Marietta.
Oh, boy. You know, it was interesting. You brought up, when we first spoke, you brought up about how you like to come to the Hudson Valley and we, that the Hudson Valley really can be coming out to the Susquehanna Valley. There's certain areas where it's just a nice trip, you know, to go. It's not too far, and it's a real doable kind of vacation. So I want more people to know a little bit more about your area. So.
Well, yes, thank you very much. I was fortunate enough about 2 summers ago to join some friends for the Country Living Fair in Rhinebeck. Mm-hmm. And we went up and we rented a cabin over in Sleepy Hollow on a lake and just had the best time. I've been back about 4 times since.
Yep.
Usually about twice a year, and one of the things that I loved about the Hudson River Valley is that it so much reminded me of the Susquehanna River Valley here in Pennsylvania, and I always thought of us as sister destinations. Yeah. Because we had so much in common, and for those that are used to the Hudson River Valley cultural and heritage and look and feel and everything like that, they'll find something very similar in the Susquehanna River Valley, but the good news is it will seem familiar, but also hopefully exciting and new.
That's right, and once they take a chance and come out there and see you, then they're going to want to come back, you know, often. So that's a nice,
thing. And it's an easy drive. I mean, when I would head up to the Hudson River Valley, I'd get up in the morning and have breakfast, and I would stop off in Socrates and have lunch, and then I would start exploring. So it's probably, if you don't stop off anywhere, a little less than 3 hours, if you stop off a little bit more. But, you know, half the fun is the journey.
That's right. That's right. So it's about a 3 hour drive then from, and how do you come across? You come into Socrates through where?
There's two different ways. I tend to avoid, I will take Interstate 80 and then take some back roads. Mm-hmm. That'll get me, like I usually stop off at the Tuttletown Distillery.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I tend to go the back way and then until I get to 87. If anyone would like to know the back roads, the beautiful scenic back roads from New York to the Susquehanna River Valley, they can email me, uh-huh. Andrew at visitcentralpa.org, and I'll give you the beautiful back roads. But it's a pretty straight shot. If you take 87 until you get to Interstate 80 in Pennsylvania, and then we're right off of Interstate 80. So,
yeah.
But if you want the back roads, email me. I'll give you that information.
Yep. So it's about 3 hours. You're central Pennsylvania. Susquehanna River must be real close if you're called the Susquehanna River Valley, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the Susquehanna River is one of the oldest rivers actually in the world, I found out, and it goes through our backyard. And there's two branches of it, but there's only one place in the state where they meet. And I'm very fortunate that we're the two branches of the Susquehanna River meter smack dab right in the middle of the region that I have. So we just find ourselves as the heart of the Susquehanna River Valley.
Oh, okay, that's fantastic. So
yeah,
and that's that means probably more recreational things that have to do with water, I would guess, too, right?
Yeah, we're very blessed. Way back in the 70s, we got hit with a really bad flood, and people became afraid of the river and going out and accessing and all of that. And I've been very fortunate in the last 20 years. There's a whole renaissance where people now are embracing the river. So canoeing, kayaking, you know, bass and trout fishing. Mm. We have one of the two only fabric dams in the world that during the summer gets inflated. And so the river rises where the two branches meet, and we call at Lake Augusta. And at that level, when it's deeper, people bring in their boats and they can bring in pontoon boats. They can go water skiing. And so it really turns into a great summer destination.
Wow. That sounds fantastic.
So yeah.
it's an artificial dam that you can open and close kind of a thing.
Yeah, they
wow.
literally inflate it, and it rises, and then the whole river rises about 6 feet, which makes it deep enough for everything, and then suddenly
yep.
summer comes alive, the water's deeper. You'll see an awful lot of canoes and kayaks and boat, and the universities use it for their sculling practices, for their sculling teams,
uh-huh.
And then there's just a ton of activity where the two branches meet, because it does form this lake, and way, way, way back in the day, Lake Augusta, you know, was considered like the hot spot, and so it's coming back, so people are no longer afraid of the water. And not only are they canoeing and kayaking on the river, but we got some of the best creeks and tributaries and great other locations for canoeing and kayaking. So it's all the tributaries to the river combined
uh-huh.
with great, beautiful farm scene land. And we have, you know, a great Amish and Mennonite population,
uh-huh.
so it's beautiful to see their farmlands. It's great.
Oh, it sounds fantastic. And I tell you, we get a lot of people over here who loves fishing, so they're always looking for new places to go. So you said bass and...
Bass and trout on the river. And then we also have Penn's Creek, which is famous for its trout fishing. And actually, President Jimmy Carter used to come here and go trout fishing at Penn's Creek.
Wow, Penn's Creek. Okay, I got to remember that.
And we have a fishing guide, so if anyone, we have a fishing guide on the website, so if anyone wants the fishing guide or any of the information that I'm talking about, we've got niche brochures that pretty much covers everything.
That's fantastic.
And the website's visitcentralpa.org.
Visitcentralpa.org. Now, do you, there's beaches around? I mean, say somebody wants to just, take the family and go for a picnic and swimming and that kind of stuff.
Not so many beaches. We do have RB Winter State Park, which is, ironically, up in the mountains of the area. That's not too far from the river. And they have a cold water lake that in the summer does heat up well enough for people to go in. It's spring fed. Uh-huh. And they actually do have an artificial beach there. So the more traditional beach, actually, and ironically, is found at a state park, and there's volleyball nets and everything there. But we don't really have any beach fronts to the river, though there's a lot of takeouts that are available up and down the river at various. We have state parks that are on the river with islands, and then we also have campgrounds, and there's a marina that's right there when the Lake Augusta comes. So there's a lot of access to the river, but no real beaches. But a lot of places nearby that you can go picnicking right on the river and walking and bicycling and all that good stuff with
river
views.
That's great. And somebody can bring a boat then if they want. They can
absolutely.
Oh boy,
absolutely
great boat. Launches are really important. So that's wow, this is great. So you've got quite a bit of outdoor possibilities.
Yeah, we do. We're very fortunate. One of the things that I've noticed since I've been here is outdoor recreation is really off the charts. And the State Office of Tourism recently did their most recent economic impact report indicated that we are the fourth in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania for outdoor recreation spending. So some of the things that we've seen that have been really increased is canoeing and kayaking, like I said, because of the river itself, that water recreation has taken off. But then also what we've seen is an awful lot of cyclists are coming to the area because at some of the state parks you can do mountain biking. You can do some really extreme. We just held last October our first national gravel road adventure that takes people on 120 miles, 90 miles, or 60. So we've now established those trails throughout the year. So they're having the event. It's called Unpaved of the Susquehanna River Valley. That's coming up in Columbus Day weekend this year. So if there's any gravel cyclist enthusiasts out there, check out Unpaved of the Susquehanna River Valley. And in addition to that, we have some rail trails that are beautiful for family cycling on the lower end of it. And what we're seeing is a lot more cyclists are coming in. We're doing workshops with communities to make them cycle friendly. It's a great place for cycle camping and bicycle packing. And so we're seeing more and more cyclists come to the area. And then in one of the sections of our area, because we're a tri-county area, which has a totally different terrain, a lot of the coal industry was there, it's called the Anthracite Outdoor Adventure Area. And it's now over 7,500 acres.
Wow.
And it offers amazing vistas and views that are gorgeous, and a lot of ATV and OHV vehicles there. That's becoming a national destination too. Jeep Jamboree has a lot of events there, so if people have ATVs and OHVs, this is turning into one of the premier national destinations for that type of outdoor recreation.
Oh boy, you've got a lot to offer over there.
It's fun. It's a lot to talk about.
Oh yeah, and it means people can come back each time and do different things, and and you get used to an area, you love it, and you want to come back, and you look forward to it, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we're not a one trick pony. We're not one stop shopping, which that can be either good or bad. I look at that as the glass half full, because we have so much to do, regardless of age, family friendly, group of friends. If you tend to be a baby boomer that wants to chill and have a couple days and take it really slow, we have so much to offer that what we do find is we have a loyal following that come back. They'll come for a weekend or a day trip and explore, and then decide they want to come back and keep exploring. And very much like the Hudson River Valley, they'll stay in one town and then they'll do spokes and go visit all the other towns in the area. The next time they come to visit, they'll make their home base one of the other smaller towns. And we're seeing a lot of that happen here.
That's right. So why don't we break down then? This is a great way to approach things. Let's talk family friendly. Then maybe you can go into, after that, we'll talk a little bit about a group of friends, different possibilities there, or the seniors, or just somebody that just want to go and relax and so Lead us. Let's start with the family friendly stuff.
Okay. Yeah. We're a great family friendly location. You know, once again, we're very easy to get through, you know, get to from Washington, Philly, Hudson River Valley, all of those places, really easily accessible. And the great news is that once you're here, you are in very bucolic farmland and scenery that really makes it easy to relax. And so with that being said, there's a lot of great surprises that we have here. A lot of times people think that rural locations might not have a lot to offer, but we have an awful lot of family-friendly attractions that are here. One of the most popular ones, both known nationally and internationally, is Knoebels Amusement Resort. It's been around now for three generations through the Knoebels family, and it is a very family-friendly park. Free admission, free parking. You only pay for what you want to participate in. You can get an all-day pass and go crazy. They have camping. They have cabins. They have some of the best wooden roller coasters in the world. Yep. In fact, they have won national and international awards for their wooden roller coasters and also for their food. They have amazing food there that is surprising all throughout. Gorgeous landscaping, very dog-friendly. They have great water rides and an amazing pool. It's just one of those places that is a quintessential amusement park for the family that's been around for decades, that is an amusement park like it should be, without the hustle and bustle and without extraordinary prices.
Yeah, you know, I've heard about that place. And
they bring in about 2 million people a year.
Wow.
Let alone for that. So it's a stunning family-friendly place. But then we have other things that are nice surprises, too. South of that, we have Lake Tobias Wildlife Park, which has an awful lot of wild animals that are there. They'll have some lions and bears and tigers and the more typical ones that you'd find at a park, and they're enclosed and in cages, so it's safe. One of the things that I like about it is it's a little bit like Jurassic Park, but more with more native animals and maybe farm animals. They have taken off the top of a school bus, so it's open air, and you get in and you fill it, and you go around through the park, and you'll see a pack of emus running or ostriches, and you'll drive through, and you'll have oxes and elk and all different kinds of animals that are safe that will approach the bus, and you can get food at the visitor center there, and you can have an elk jump up on the bus literally and eat out of your hand. You can have oxes do the same thing, so you can get close to some animals that is very cool. You really get up close and personal. It's a beautiful, beautiful sight. Then we have Clyde Peeling's Reptiland, which is well known. Clyde is internationally known for appearing on some late night talk shows and showcasing animals. They have a beautiful Komodo dragon exhibit. They have alligators. They have exotic animals and pets. They now have had for the last couple of years an stunning animatronic dinosaur area now that is increasingly more popular, that is very realistic. Another thing that they have that's great is they have taken this space and they have filled it with hundreds and hundreds of canaries. You can go in and you can get a popsicle stick more or less with peanut butter and canary food on it, and you just stand there and the canaries will fly and land on you and eat. So that's very interactive. So that's wonderful. And then we have TND Cats of the World, which is a wild animal refuge that they take an awful lot of animals where parks close down, or even in the inner city, you're going to see people that have lions and tigers as status symbols for gangs and whatnot, and they find them as they grow up in apartments, and so they save them and they rescue them. And the interesting thing about it is it's not going to look like the Serengeti or their native habitat. It's in rural Pennsylvania, but you'll have two sections of 8-foot-high fence. As opposed to a zoo where you'll see a bear maybe 20 or 30 or a lion, you know, so many feet away from you, here it's safe, but you can literally have a tiger be 8 feet away from you looking at you.
Wow.
And I had a lion lions usually are a little reclusive. They stay in the middle of the pen. I had a lion come up to me about 10 feet away and roar at me. I thought I'd have to change my pants, but it was so exciting. I thought, who would ever think that a lion would scare you and roar at you in the middle of central Pennsylvania?
Andrew, these are really, really fantastic things for your family to experience.
Yes, and they just opened up an aviary of parrots and cockatoos and probably 300 birds, and you go in there and they're all around you, and there was a small group of us talking, and within 5 minutes all of us had about three or four parrots landing on our head and shoulders just hanging out talking with us. I mean, it was fun. So, I mean, in addition to that, you know, we have other things that are going on. We have children's museums. We have, you know, children's festivals and events. We really try to be family-friendly fun. For more information, once again, I said people can either, you know, go into our website and ask for brochures or go to our calendar of events, because we have events broken down by family-friendly fun.
Yeah. Are there any big children's events or family events that come up every year that somebody should be planning ahead, you know, book a hotel early, things like that?
The events throughout the summer usually are more festivals and fairs that are found in towns. We have a lot of antiquing events, blueberries and bluegrass festivals, a lot of crafts fair. One of the bigger craft festivals in the area that is something for everyone is the Lewisburg Arts Festival. That is held, it's coming up, it's April 13th through May 11th. And that features a ton of juried artists. It gets about 12 to 14,000 people in. I would say if anyone be looking for an arts festival coming up, check out the Lewisburg Arts Festival on our website, and you might want to book a room for that. But other than that, you know, once again, lots of fireworks going on, lots of summer concert series that are going on, and always have something for kids. And so I would suggest checking out our website and looking at it. Yeah. We also have the Little League World Museum is right in our own backyard.
Wow.
So when they have, you know, the Little League national and international champions that are held in the second half of summer, all the hotel rooms are booked. But the great thing is, come before or after that, you won't have a problem finding room, and you can check out the amazing newly renovated and interactive Little League World Museum that is just a great, great draw for kids. You can run from home to first base and see how fast you go, and you can compete with your friends and family in the day. You can go to an interactive map that is and leave messages for Little League baseball teams in Japan and in, you know, Poland and all over the world. It's awesome.
Delightful. This is really great stuff. Really good stuff. All right, so let's move on now. Let's talk a little bit about say a group of friends want to go. That's a great way to approach.
Yeah, I have a great great group of high school friends. Like I said, we do big chill weekends. That's how I discovered the Hudson River Valley. So in terms of getting a gang of friends together, we can accommodate everybody at campgrounds. If you want cabins, we got amazing, beautiful B&Bs in our downtowns of Sealands Grove and Lewisburg and Danville that, you know, are very walkable. You can be in the center of the town, and then you have easy access to a lot of great restaurants and brew pubs. So it's a great place for that. It's easy to get around. You can bring your bicycles. You can bring your canoe and kayaks. And if you don't have a canoe and kayak or into it, you can easily rent one and do a guided tour down the river. But we are home to two great, we have both the Susquehanna Heartland Wine Trail, of which in our Tri-County area there are 9 wineries that are awesome. It's our version of the Finger Lakes, and we're very proud of that. And then in the last 2 years, we've just opened up the River Rap Brew Trail. And that is not only our 3 counties, but the next door 2 counties. And we have 13 breweries on that, 9 of which are in our county. And so we have some of the most amazing breweries and wineries in our area that offer really distinct Pennsylvania craft alcoholic beverages. And the Brew Trail actually is a summer passport program. And you purchase the passport program, and over 4 months, if you visit the 9 participating breweries, at every brewery, you get a free giveaway. And then if you complete the passport, you'll get a free – we've yet to determine the apparel. It's either going to be a brewer shirt or a hoodie that you get at the end of completing it.
Wow.
And the theme for this year is we're playing on the whole farm-to-table thing. We're doing farm-to-mug. So it's going to be celebrating the craft beers that are partnered with the local farmers to, you know, offer really unique tastes that celebrate everything that is here in Pennsylvania.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. That's great. And you said antiquing, too, was something that you have antiqued?
Yeah, antiquing is great in the area, and it's extraordinarily affordable. What we find is there's an awful lot of dealers that come up from a lot of the big cities that come up here and buy because everything's so affordable. And there's so many antiques and antique dealers in the area that we have a brochure that's dedicated strictly to the antique dealers in the area. And so you find them pretty much in every town. The prices are very affordable. We have a big event on August 24th. It's the New Berlin Antiques Arts and Crafts Festival that is really great and filled with some really, really, really nice antiques. Sealands Grove has their festival that's Antiques on the Avenue, and that is July 14th, and that celebrates antiquing. But the great thing is these festivals are awesome, so if you want a weekend or a day trip built around antiquing, what you can do is you can come to either of these events, and then you can use our antique brochure and, you know, just do day trips and just hit all the antiques in the area. And like I said, we have the brochure for that, and on the brochure it lists all the events that are held over this festivals and events are held over the summer for antiquing.
Boy, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm big into antiques. And you said crafts, too. You have craft festivals? festivals and craft?
Yes. Arts and craft festivals, are coming up in addition to the Lewisburg Arts Festival that I spoke about. Seelands Grove has their Stroll Through the Arts and Craft and Sidewalk Sales. That's held in July. I don't have the date yet, but that's coming up. Okay. And then Knoebels has an Arts and Craft Festival for the summer that's increasingly popular. That is June 18th through the 21st.
If you have the Amish, I bet you can get some nice quilts over where you are somewhere.
Yes. Actually, we have a quilt display that goes on at one of the museums in Lewisburg. They do an annual quilt display. That's really, really, really popular. And for anyone that might be interested in actually making that is into spinning or weaving or wooden fiber tools, actually there is a fiber festival that is May 18th and 19th that is located in Hughesville, Pennsylvania, nearby.
Wow. So spinning and weaving, so that would be a fiber fest. That's really
interesting. Yeah, it's a fiber festival, 18th and 19th.
Wow, that's something to plan ahead. We have people all over the Hudson Valley. You never know who's listening because they all have, everybody's got different interests, and it looks like you really got the whole gamut here to really choose from.
Yeah, that's what we're really proud of. It's I jokingly say that if you're bored in the Susquehanna River Valley, it's your own fault because we have so much going on. Yeah. We actually have a very interesting event that I will talk about. Is we are very blessed to have in our own backyard. It's called Gilson Snow, and it's a group of young entrepreneurs that really got into snowboarding and skiing, and they could have gone to Boulder and decided to come back home. So they're located in a small town called New Berlin, and their snowboards and skis are internationally known and have been voted some of the best. And we're proud to have them in our own backyard. And on July 27th, they have their annual Gilson Summer Snow Day.
Wow.
So they end up putting up a ramp for snowboarding. They bring in all this snow, and the first event, it was 98 degrees out. And what they do is they bring the snow in, and they have professional snowboarders that are jumping off the ramp in the middle of July.
Isn't that something?
It's held on their farm. They have wineries. They have breweries. They have vendors. They have life-size, huge games, yard games like Jenga and stuff. It turns into a big block party.
Oh,
they have bands throughout the day, and it's all free.
July 27th, folks. Mark your calendar. That sounds
like a busy. Mark your calendar. They have a huge following on social media. They're going to have a lot of friends coming from New York State. It is a great summer festival that includes snow and snowboarding smack dab in the middle of July.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. That's family. Everybody would want to see something
family
like that.
And everybody. It's a great event for all generations.
Yeah. Boy, you get some really unique sites here. This is really good. Now, what about seniors or somebody just wants to go and relax? What do you suggest for those kind of folks?
Well, that is one of the things that I think is great about it, because you can create your own itinerary and go as fast as slow as you want. So, I mean, you could come and stay in a nice B&B downtown and end up going, just walking to some of the local restaurants and enjoy. Usually most of the restaurants have a lot of the local wines and craft beers, so you don't necessarily have to go to the wineries or breweries, but you can go to a winery and sit in one of the beautiful decks and just watch the sunset. You can take a slower pace. You could rent a cycle at one of the cycle places. You can rental and go on the rail trail.
Oh, yeah.
You can go check out any of the antique places. And then what's really great is the downtowns are very historic and very Norman Rockwell in their appearance and very quintessential all-American, very walkable, very safe. And downtown you're going to see some very unique and boutique stores that offer things that you're not necessarily going to get elsewhere. We're also home to some places and some craftspeople. We have a wonderful potter, a Penns Creek Pottery, that is in an old antique mill right on Penns Creek. He makes some of the most stunning and gorgeous pottery around. You can buy stuff from local artisans. There's a woman that has her own beautifully milled soap shops and body and essential oils that are all made from local ingredients. That she has a great wholesale business. So it's great to come and experience what is made locally, what is cooked locally. And so you can really take a slow pace. We have lots of history and heritage going on here. We have some very distinct and unique museums that celebrate our history and heritage. And so for baby boomers or people that want to take a little bit slower and understand our past, understand our present, they can check out the museums and understand our history that goes, way back to, at one point we were the Wild West as the colonies expanded. So we have an awful lot of forts in the area, lots of stories about the forts, and we have heritage days that celebrate those things at the Dale Erringer Walker House. We have a strawberry festival at one of our historic sites every year. And so the history and heritage is a very interesting part that a lot of people tend to overlook, but the Underground Railroad was big here.
Uh-huh.
Joseph Priestley has a home here in Northumberland, and he actually was a pen pal of Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and it it's his home reminds you of something you'd see in Williamsburg, Virginia. Once again, another great surprise.
Wow, this is fantastic stuff. We can't pack it all in a half an hour.
I know.
Now, before we only got like 2-3 minutes. Okay. Can you give me some interesting places to eat? If somebody's in different parts of the area, what kind of place to eat? Because a lot of people, it's fun to go into a, you know, an old-fashioned diner, or somebody has, you know, a chocolate store, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, we have great fine dining in the area, and some of the fine dining places that can be found are the Brasserie Louis in Lewisburg, the Edison Restaurant, which is called the Edison Restaurant because it was one of the first restaurants lit by the Edison bulb. Elizabeth's, an American bistro, also in Lewisburg, has a great fine dining and won a lot of awards. If you're into steakhouses, we've got a great tavern and oyster bar called BJ's in Sealands Grove. And then we have, you know, if you're into the home style, which is great. Some people love the great diner food. Ard's Farm Restaurant outside of Lewisburg does a lot of farm-to-table. Stuff is grown right in their own backyard. Traditional places with great diner food, Carriage Corner in Mifflinburg, Mosser's Restaurant in Paxinus that has some of the most amazing and moist pork chops I've ever had. Ooh. Plus, they celebrate an awful lot of local cultural food like pierogies and soupies that we love, and, you know, pigs in the blanket and haluskis. We have the Ranch House Restaurant in Duncannon. That is a great diner food. Royuta's Restaurant in Beaver Springs, once again, celebrating great diner food at its best. We have coffee houses. We have Italian. American Country Cupboard, also located here, really celebrates the more or less home-style Pennsylvania Dutch food. So you'll find lots of noodles and lots of baked corn and lots of really traditional, good, solid, you know, chicken and dumplings, pot pies, that kind of great food that celebrates
good.
And whoopie pies and everything that is Pennsylvania.
Sounds good. This sounds great. So maybe give us your website again. And if somebody, you probably have a section on food, a section on shopping, a section on outdoors.
The website is visitcentralpa.org. We have everything broken down by dining, lodging, shopping, things to do, events, planning your trip, and all of the toolbar menu items break down the dining and the lodging, you know, the type of restaurant, B&Bs, cabins, campgrounds. We even have farm stays. You can stay. One farm has about 10, 12 cabins that are very, very cute Victorian gingerbread cabins. You can actually work the farm if you want to.
Wow.
Feed the pigs, feed the cows. The other one has a great bunkhouse. You can help feed the lambs and the sheep and the pigs. And then you can go spend your day. You can stay at the farm and then spread out and go visit wineries and breweries.
Wow.
So everything's on the website. Our calendar of events, check it out on the website. We probably have an average of 150 things going on each month. Look for us on Facebook. Our Facebook events, we've had over 800,000 people look at our Facebook events over the last year, with over 250,000 people looking at it in the last 9 months. That section is blowing up. I'd say look for the Susquehanna River Valley on Facebook and check out those events. We're adding them daily. We have a great bacon festival coming up with 70 vendors where no two have the same bacon events. That's held in McClure on April 20th. I mean, it's just amazing everything that we have here.
Okay, that's fantastic. Well, we're out of time, and I hope
Thank
everybody
so much,
can
Marietta.
Look forward. That's fine, and if anybody has a bus group or a school group, this is a great place to go.
Yes.
There's a contact information on your web, I assume? For your...
Yep, anything. You look at our website, we have a whole section devoted to group tours and motor coach and bus-friendly places. And when in doubt, people can just, you know, email us at info@visitcentralpa.org, and we'll make sure it gets to the right person.
Okay, Andrew, I really appreciate your coming
Thank you so much.
We got more to talk about. There's a lot here, a lot to do.
Give the Hudson River Valley my best, and I will be there this year.
Okay, take care. That's a wrap for this week, folks. I hope you check out the central Pennsylvania area of Susquehanna Valley. I think you'll find a lot to do. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.